Hello, Disney fans. Welcome to this week's episode of the Diz Unplugged. Coming up this week, Joe Rohde announces that he is retiring from Walt Disney Imagineering. Park hopping is returning to Walt Disney World, sort of. Disney announces restaurants that are getting ready to open. There will be a new way to get to Walt Disney World. And if you're thinking about, well, no, we're actually not going to talk about that, and I didn't update my script. We got a lot to talk about this week. There was a lot of news. We're going to get to all that in just a moment on this week's episode of The Diz Unplugged. Hello, everyone, and welcome. Coming to you from my office, actually, because it was an interesting hour. In Orlando, Florida, I'm your host, Pete Werner. Joined this week via Skype by my good friends, Denny Sunderly.
Hey there.
Corey Fiascanaro.
Hey, everybody.
Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
And our producer, Craig Williams.
Ahoy, hoy.
We were having quite a bit of fun before we started recording. I'm a little amped up because I was trying to do this in the studio and something wasn't working. So I had to hurry up and get into my office and set it up in here. So you're getting a look at my new office, right? I completely redid this, redid the studio, as you know. And if you've watched the show for any length of time, you know that when I get into these spaces where I'm changing everything, that it's rarely limited. So, yes, my office has changed. The studio has changed, but also our YouTube channels are changing. Craig, how do you like that segue? That's a good segue.
It's a good segue. I like it. So,
I want to start the show out by letting everybody know that effective January 1st, a number of the shows that you're used to viewing on YouTube, and this applies only to YouTube. It does not apply to the audio versions of our shows. Nothing there is changing. But historically, all of our shows have gone up on Diz Unplugged. And Craig and I kind of came to the conclusion that the channel was just getting too saturated. There was too much stuff going up, sometimes 8, maybe 10 shows a week with vlogs and all sorts of stuff. And it was just saturating the channel. And some of the stuff going up wasn't of interest to everybody. So we decided to kind of break things up a little bit. So the Disney Dining Show, for example, does have its own YouTube channel. The DVC show has its own YouTube channel. The Disney Cruise Line show has its own YouTube channel. And of course, Moving to Orlando has had its own YouTube channel for quite a while now. But effective January 1st, all of those shows will no longer be on Diz Unplugged. You'll need to subscribe to those individual channels in order to keep getting that stuff. And of course, those channels are also going to have specialized content around those topics. So DVC vlogs will be on that channel. Dining show vlogs will be on that channel. You get the idea. Over on our Diz channel is where you're going to find all of our in-park vlogs and our live streams. And the Diz Unplugged is still going to have this show, of course, the best and worst of Walt Disney World. And the Universal show, presumably, and some surprises that we're working on that you will see in the beginning of the year. So don't try and commit all this to memory. Once this show is done, down in the description below, there will be links to everything where you can find all these different channels. I encourage you, please, go ahead and subscribe to the shows you want to follow. Hit that notification bell. That not only helps you to know when we put new stuff up, but it also helps us out with YouTube and their algorithm. So that would be awesome. Did I miss anything, Craig?
Nothing really off the top of my head there. And the important thing, too, is besides like playing Link Scavenger Hunt and such, if you want to go to just youtube.com/DizUnplugged to the homepage of, you know, the Diz on YouTube, then right at the very top under like the video that it shows you if you're a returning subscriber or a new subscriber, right under that, it's going to show you all of our different channels that we have. Again, the Diz, Dreams Unlimited Travel, Moving to Orlando, DCL Fan, DVC Fan, Disney Dining Show. I'm sure there's other ones in there that just haven't come to fruition yet that will one day. But yeah, it's all right there. Nice and easy to find, and we will annoy you for the next probably month and a half, if not longer, about the different ways to find where everything's going to be. We don't want to leave any stone unturned.
Because, no matter how much we say it on the show, no matter how much we put it on social media, no matter how much we put it on the Diz, invariably people are going to be like, where's this show? Where's that show?
Yeah.
So that's why we're just going to like repeat it.
Yeah. And
forever.
Besides obviously subscribing to all those new channels, if you haven't done so yet, please take a second to make sure you are subscribed to our channel that you're currently watching this on. If you're watching and not listening, make sure you are subscribed, hit that bell so you get notified when we have new videos, and start hitting that thumbs up. Let us know that you're enjoying today's special Thanksgiving episode where we talk about news and such.
Yeah, we give thanks to the news gods that we actually have to talk about this week. Also, one more thing, and again, normally I would do this stuff in the middle of the show, but these two things were kind of important. I want to make sure I get them out there right up front. I found out today that Give Kids the World is going to be doing a special auction next Tuesday, which is Giving Tuesday, December 1st. We will, this weekend on the Diz and on our social media channels, we'll be pushing the link and the information, but I just wanted to give everybody a heads up. They got a lot of holiday items, decorations donated by Disney, and Disney gave them permission to go ahead and auction some of that stuff off. Among the things that they're auctioning off are one of the Christmas trees from the Grand Floridian. Not the big one, not the 80-foot one that sits in the lobby, but you know what I'm saying. They also have a lot, Stephen Amos from Give Kids the World was like sending me little videos today showing me like the incredible amount of stuff they have still to be auctioned, even after that incredible auction we did in September. So they still have all this stuff. They're not putting everything up. They're saving a lot of stuff for next year, but they are putting some really, really great stuff up for auction next Tuesday, December 1st, which is Giving Tuesday. Great way to support Give Kids the World. And later on this week, as I said, on social media and on the Diz, we will be posting more details about where you can sign up for that and all that good stuff. So just wanted to make sure everyone knew that. So, all right, with that out of the way, let's talk about some of the things that that happened this week. I think all of us were stunned yesterday at the announcement that Joe Rohde, the legendary Imagineer, the man behind Animal Kingdom, literally. I mean, he was the lead Imagineer on Animal Kingdom, among many, many other projects that he's worked on, has announced that he is going to be retiring. And I think one of the biggest surprises for me was that he's been with Disney for 40 years, since he was 25 years old. And I think that came as a surprise because, not that I'm surprised he's 65, the guy has the energy of a 25-year-old. So I just never thought of him in those terms. So everybody was talking about it on social yesterday when he announced it on Instagram. He said, I'm sure by now many of you have come across the news that I'm retiring from Walt Disney Imagineering. It has been 40 years since I stepped foot in the door at age 25, not knowing anything about theme parks, Disney, or what it meant to work for a big company. Every day of my life since then has been a learning experience. I'm very glad to have had that opportunity and proud of the work that has been done, not just by me, but all my fellow Imagineers. And he goes on to talk about his experiences at Disney. I encourage everybody to go check out his Instagram account and read what he wrote. But he tells a wonderful story about his journey, really coming in fresh at 25 into Disney, and look at the career the man has had. And, you know, one of the questions that Jackie Gailey actually asked, one of the projects he's currently working on is Lighthouse Point, the new private island Disney Cruise Line is building in the Bahamas in anticipation of the launch of the Wish, hopefully in 2022. You know, I'm sure they're going to continue with that project. But I do wonder how different it's going to be with him not there to be at the helm of it, because he's a taskmaster, man. He makes sure it's right. He makes sure it's right. His work on Pandora over in Animal Kingdom is the stuff of legend.
Yeah.
The battles he had with James Cameron. But what did you guys think when he when you read this announcement?
I mean, sorry. Go ahead, Ronald.
I was going to say, I heard this was actually like a mutual parting, that that they said, you can go. And they offered him the chance to take the severance in like an early retirement.
Really? I hadn't heard that.
Yeah. I was talking to a friend about it last night, and he was telling me that he actually took it in October, and they're only just talking about it now. And it's because that when he gets involved with the project, he's a very expensive person to be involved with the project because of all these things that we love that he's done, you know. And if you've watched any of the like interviews with him and how he works, he travels the world, you know, and really kind of dives into these cultures and kind of brings that back into his type of storytelling. And I know he brought that up in his post on Instagram as well, about wanting to, you know, visit, go back to, I know he said like Nepal was his favorite country and stuff. And so I was like, yeah, I guess he is kind of really expensive, and where they're at right now is I don't think they can affordably sink money into another Joe Rohde project. So I think it's just one of those things where they're like, listen, we know you're not going to have enough time for like a big other project that we're going to be able to finance. So if you want to go now would be the time to go do your own thing.
Okay. Well, with that being said, how much of this then really is Joe Rohde retiring, and how much of this is that bald jackass cutting entertainment? Is this another entertainment?
That's immediately what I thought, was that it was big part of budget cuts, and they were like, well, we have to look at who are the most expensive people we have.
You know, and here's something too that I just want to say, when we're talking about Lex Luthor, from what I've heard, he is remarkably unpopular among a number of people inside the organization. And I'm not talking about necessarily the Walt Disney World level. I'm talking the Burbank level. I wonder how far his lust to gut entertainment and turn Disney World into an overpriced Six Flags, how far that lust is going to go before the board of directors steps in. If this is true, if Joe Rohde was shown the door, then yes, it is another cut in entertainment. But this is at a level I don't think any of us imagined.
And I mean,
anybody else have a different take on that?
That was kind of my thought process with Joe leaving, is that everything he touches gives that certain Disney atmosphere we've come to expect. And with Disney, I think one of the biggest things that separates it from everything else is that atmosphere that they create in their parks, from obviously Animal Kingdom and Pandora to some of the first projects he worked on was the Mexico and Norway pavilions. You can really feel that Disney atmosphere in all the projects he worked on. I mean, Aulani, I haven't been to Aulani, but I've only heard things. Pete can speak to Aulani, but he worked on
Amazing.
That as well. And I just hope that, I mean, what Joe said on his Instagram post was that given everything going on right now, bowing out at the moment seems like it makes the most sense, because it is the best time to do it without disruption. I didn't hear about all the other information about him getting that offer and whatnot, but he did say that if he continued to stay on past 2021, that yeah, he would get involved in another big project. And when he gets involved in another big project, he's really involved. So But I really hope that we get somebody else like him.
Well,
for sure.
I think we are going to get someone else like him eventually down the line, but I think this just comes back to the fact that WDI took a huge, huge hit with layoffs, a very big one. And, you know, it's still not okay. It's the world of this company and trying to make shareholders happy, make the people on top happy, because they're the ones who they, you know, in the most bonker of sense, they're the ones who are making the money, and the people below at the bottom making the magic, not necessarily the money. They're the ones getting ignored. But someone who's very expensive in Imagineering is definitely going to be something that they're going to look at. And it's like what they even looked at with the parks on that level. If you had a lot of seniority, that did not matter at all to them. Time and effort put in didn't really matter. It's a lot of financial decisions being made, and I'm not condoning it by any means, but I'm not shocked by it at all. And, you know, after they finish the projects that they're currently working on, which most of them will probably get stripped even further than what they were originally supposed to be. But after that, we could be in a phase where nothing is really developed for a long time, and any projects they need for Imagineering, they can just freelance out to other companies. Like if they need animatronics, just go to Garner Holt and get them to build all of the animatronics, or a different company. And they're going to start doing things like that. And as for Lighthouse Point, I think eventually down the line, it will come to light. And I have no doubts that I'm sure Joe has a relationship with them, that the people who are working on that project will be able to come to him for advice and any guidance, counseling that they might need on that project. And, you know, I get that vibe from the couple times that I've had a chance to talk to him. Anytime I've had the opportunity to speak with him, he literally treats you like you are on the same level as him. And that we, as Disney fans, we know we're not worthy. So he's just an all around good guy, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. He is. And I'm sorry, Danny, go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, I wouldn't be surprised though, with some of the projects that he was going to be involved in, just like some of the projects that we've seen that were announced at D23 for Epcot that have mysteriously now been taken off the table and cut from the Epcot experience film. I wouldn't be surprised if there were adjustments made, if there were, not saying corners cut, but if there were just edits that are made to the grand scheme of things so that things are, you know, come in a little bit less expensive than it was. And this is just, again, this is part of the heartbreak on every level. This is this year and the reaction to the pandemic. It's unfortunately, you know, I'm walking through Disney Springs and Lucky Brand is gone. Like a whole company, a whole, you know, all the locations, they're just gone. And that place is dark. And I start thinking about the families that are affected. Like, so it touches everyone on every level. And Pete, when you're talking about Chapek and his side of the story here, I am comforted by what Josh D'Amaro said recently, because he is like the other swing of the pendulum, right? So Chapek is swinging so wide one way. Josh is that comforting, compassionate voice that also goes, you know what, guests? We've heard you. We know that live entertainment is important to you, and we're going to see what we can do about it, because he actually does listen to what the guest experience is like, and I think he's in touch with what we really want.
He does, but you got to remember, he reports to Chapek, right?
Yes.
He still has a boss.
Yes,
I know. And so there's that. Let me just say this, and then we're going to move on because we got a lot to get to. I've said this before. When they laid 28,000 people off, we understood. It sucked, and we weren't thrilled about it, right? None of us were. But we understood the circumstances and situation that we're in right now. We understood. Entertainment cuts? Well, we're not stupid, right? We knew that Chapek was angling for these cuts long before COVID was ever mentioned. And this was used as an opportunity to do just that. And because of that pushback, among the audience they need more than ever right now, because just because their parks are at 35% capacity doesn't mean they're getting those numbers. They are relying so much more heavily on us. Our voice as fans has never been more influential and more powerful than it is in this moment. So putting that pressure on them, on social media in particular, about the entertainment cuts has been really effective and will continue to be effective, and we should continue to talk about it. But I'm going to tell you what, you know, depending on any of the news sources you listen to, you hear about a vaccine coming and you hear about maybe some level of normalcy happening by the middle of next year, or return to some normalcy by the middle of next year. There will be a time where this will be in our rearview mirror. I don't know when that is, but I'm going to tell you what, once it is, they better bring these people back, or we should start screaming bloody murder. They cannot use this as an opportunity to cut their payroll and cut their service to a level they never could have gotten away with before. They can't be allowed to do it. Now, right now, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. But when that day comes, when they think, I'll lead the damn parade. I will lead the damn parade. They got to bring these people back. So, all right, I'm not going to get myself all heated up now. That was going to be a feel good story, Rhino. That was going to be a feel good story.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I took a turn on it.
You have to come in with that and get me riled. All right. Now, while they're showing Joe Rohde the door, they're getting ready to build a train station. Now, this is actually not the worst news of the year. We've heard talk about, you know, SunRail coming, stopping at Disney World, about light, you know, high speed trains coming to Disney World. Well, Brightline trains. This has not been officially announced, but it has basically been, has said that they are going to work with Disney on building a station at Disney Springs that will bring people from, I believe, within Florida. Mm-hmm. Right now is what they're saying.
I think Tampa.
Within Florida to Disney World, and with Disney Springs as the hub, as the station. Their locations are going to be Miami, Fort Lauderdale, West Palm Beach, planned stations in Aventura, Boca Raton, and Port Miami. Now, Port Miami is interesting because people who want to take a cruise out of Miami but want to visit Disney World, that might be a boon for Disney Cruise Line, which the Miami sailings have always been a bit challenging for them. It's going to be even more challenging moving forward. So that could be interesting. The proposed train station is going to have a lobby on the ground level with passenger facilities and an upper level train platform. So this will be an elevated train platform, which I guess is good. Thoughts, feelings, comments?
I think the state desperately is in need of infrastructure like that. Like, I remember coming here for the first time when I was like in my 20s. Not that wasn't the first time I was here, but you know, and being semi-adult, I was like, oh, I can go visit somebody. There must be a train here because I'm from Boston and there's trains that will take you everywhere. Yeah. And I was just, they were like, no. And I was like, well, how do I get there? And they're like, you drive. And I'm like, or, and they're like, that's it. And so I think a train connecting all these cities together can only do good for the state in terms of like being able to get the workforce more spread out, you know, bringing businesses to different areas and stuff like that. That's what I was hoping they were going to do with the SunRail, but that just kind of went to nowhere that anybody needed it to. So I don't know.
Yeah. And it's also, we have these conversations with our real estate clients on the moving to Orlando side all the time, that they're, you know, when they're picking places to live here, they have to keep in mind there is no meaningful mass transit. We have a bus service, the Lynx. is terrible, terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, to go 20 miles is going to take you 3 hours, and you've got to change buses 19 times. We don't have any meaningful train service. We certainly don't have anything like a subway or anything like that. They've been trying to improve it, but there always gets into this battle between Tallahassee and Washington about how much, who's going to pay for what and how much they're going to pay for it. It always ends up breaking down. So this is at least positive news, but we've been here before. This is not the first announcement. Like I said, you know, we had announcements about light rail was coming to Disney, and I mean, which I guess it is, but you know, this was like 47 years ago, and you know, everybody was all excited about it, and then nothing ever happened because the financing fell through. So I will believe that this is going to happen when I actually see the train pull in to the station at Disney Springs.
Literally.
That's when I'll believe it. Literally.
It is. It's on Brightline's website. It says Disney Station Future Expansion. So it's right there. They hope to open it in 2022. They want service to both Disney and Tampa. And for me, just, you know, as Disney, you know, geek, nerd, whatever, I like that it ties in with some of the backstory that we received about Disney Springs. I mean, we've already got elevated train platforms or pieces of them that remain at Disney Springs now. So how cool is it that we're going to have a legit elevated train? Like,
that's a good point.
Pretty cool.
I think it's... I think this is one of those decisions as they make it that is definitely going to be way more positive for South Florida and Miami more than us. Like, it's nothing against South Florida, but I don't ever stop and say to myself, like, you know what, I'm missing a little Miami in my life. But I do say that about Tampa quite often. So I could see myself as Central Florida resident, I could see myself going back and forth between Orlando and Tampa, but not as much to South Florida. But if it can get them up here quicker and faster, so the people who live in the southern part of our state can enjoy Disney more, then, you know, good for them. It's good for everyone.
Yeah, but let the travel person and me speak on where Miami is important. I kind of alluded to it when I talked about Cruise Line, but not just Disney, because this doesn't necessarily apply to Disney Cruise Line as much as it does to other ones. Oftentimes, you can find a cruise a lot cheaper going out of Miami than you can out of Port Canaveral. Same or similar itineraries. One of the big reasons for that is because the Port of Miami is one of the largest cruise ports in the world, let alone the United States. And the amount of competition among every major cruise line docks in Miami, and I say Miami and Fort Lauderdale, every major cruise line docks there. And so you have a lot more options, and that drives the pricing down. So a lot of times you can. So if there was a quick, you know, relatively painless way to get to and from Disney from Miami, I'm not saying it would be a massive boon, but the part of me that owns a travel agency, which I forgot to plug, by the way, I did it again. DreamsUnlimitedTravel.com is a sponsor of this show. I am a co-owner in Dreams Unlimited, as I just mentioned. Oh, and I got a watch hitting my chest when I'm wearing a lavalier. As you can, I'm all over the place today, folks. I'm so sorry. But DreamsUnlimitedTravel.com, if you like our content, you like our shows, you like seeing Craig, look how sad he looks. He has to eat. He has to eat. And that's how we pay him, right? We pay him when you book a trip through Dreams Unlimited Travel. And you get an amazing agent who's going to help you plan every aspect of your trip and can even help you organize logistics of taking the mythical train from Disney Springs to Miami. How's that for a segue back into the story? So there are opportunities that may open itself up as a result of this that are kind of unintended consequences or unintended benefits of them doing this. But we'll have to wait and see again if the train actually materializes, because I won't believe it until I see it. All right, moving along. More Disney restaurants are getting ready to open. Woody's Lunchbox, everybody hold yourselves back, in Hollywood Studios Toy Story Land is going to reopen tomorrow, actually, on November 25th. The Crystal Palace in the Magic Kingdom is going to reopen on December 13th. It will not be a buffet. Food is going to be served family style. Think of what you get at Ohana, where they just bring massive trays of food to the table and, you know, you go to town. Beer Garden and Epcot and the Germany Pavilion is returning as well. I guess those are on the 13th. And on the 17th, Tomorrowland Terrace, also located in the Magic Kingdom, will reopen to guests and will serve quick service selection, such as fried shrimp, fried chicken, and lobster rolls. I am surprised it has taken them this long. There is a real lack of outdoor dining at Magic Kingdom. You look at that expansive area at Tomorrowland Terrace. That is because if you're like me, I'm not sitting inside a restaurant. I will not sit inside a restaurant until this crap is over with. So it has to be outdoor seating, and that grossly limits your options. So I'm glad they're doing that. I also think they need to take that space right across from the Plaza Inn and turn that into table service, because we have no outdoor table service at Magic Kingdom at all. You have, again, that whole area across from Plaza restaurant that would be perfect for that. And you can actually have a table service experience, maybe put a few more cast members back to work because you'd be expanded. Because, you know, the Plaza, I think my office is about the same size as the inside of the Plaza restaurant. So you have a lot more tables, a lot more seating, and it would be the only table service in the Magic Kingdom that has outdoor seating, unless I'm forgetting something. Right? No, I'm not.
Mm-mm.
Table service, there are none that have outdoor seating. And when you consider that, according to the CDC, you're 6 times more likely to contract COVID in a restaurant indoors than you are anywhere else. 6 times more likely. Think about that. That's why I'm not going to eat inside.
Yeah, I mean, the restaurants listed, I agree with Tomorrowland Terrace, aren't the ones that I was like so excited to get back to. I'm still crossing my fingers for Sebastian's. We still haven't seen Sebastian's open back up yet, but Tomorrowland Terrace is definitely a welcome re-addition with those with that outdoor seating, because yeah, you're hard pressed to find something on MK.
But even Sebastian's, I apologize, Ryan, I'll come to you in a second. But even Sebastian's, you have that pool bar adjacent to it that's outdoor, that has enough room that they could rework that and make that outdoor seating for Sebastian's. They need to be thinking about that. They need to be thinking more about it. I was expecting they were going to be more aggressive with doing that, but I've been disappointed. But go ahead, Ryan. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say I'm happy that Woody's Lunchbox is going to reopen, because we've always said that I like, they don't have like a ton of offerings, but what I like is that you can get like a sandwich there, and sometimes that's what you want. You just want like a sandwich. But I know that they said like the tachos were coming back, and those are always a fun you know, indulgence. And then I'm sure they'll bring back the pastries too. Maybe they'll do the holiday one, but that lemon blueberry one they used to have was so good. So I'm pretty excited to switch it up, because I feel like lately it's hard for me because I'm addicted to the Ronto wraps, but I also want to be like, today you can't have meat wrapped in meat. You have to get something better.
I would say, based on the way I talk to people and hear about like dining choices at Disney, I think that the grilled cheese at Woody's Lunchbox is probably one of the most favorite items of all of Walt Disney World property for quick service. Yep. And that makes sense, because think about back at the Polynesian in the day, everyone loved the adult grilled cheese at Captain Cook's, and nothing Polynesian about it, just a really well done grilled cheese. And sometimes it hits the spot, takes you back to childhood.
We did miss a spot in Magic Kingdom. Tony's does have a couple outdoor tables, but it's Tony's. So
we didn't miss anything.
Right.
We didn't miss anything.
I am interested to see what Crystal Palace does, just in the vein of Biergarten and what we've seen from Biergarten thus far, and how all that amazing food just appears at your table and you don't have to go anywhere. I am all over that. So I'm interested in seeing what Crystal Palace does. And, you know, while Winnie the Pooh and his friends won't be greeting there, it's still just, it's a beautiful environment. So I'm excited. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
I wonder if the food's going to be any better, but I guess we'll find out. All right. Before we get on to the next couple things I want to talk about, we're going to do a little bit of housekeeping. I know, Denny, you had something you wanted to mention.
I do. I just wanted to bring up our daily mailer, our Diz updates. If you didn't know, we have a daily mailer that comes out just after 11 o'clock, just before your lunch break. If you take a break for lunch, you've got some reading. But it lands in your inbox every day, and our newest Diz videos from all the different channels will appear in that mailer. Some of the news stories that we're reading today, they're all in that mailer. So if you haven't subscribed, just head to the Diz, so www.info.com, and you'll see our social buttons at the top, and there's a little envelope button all the way at the end. Just click on that. It'll ask you for your email address, and you will receive that daily email, and you'll always be up on all the latest news and updates.
All right. Excellent, Denny. Thank you. Rhino, you had something?
Yeah, I just wanted to let everybody know, for those of you who are some of our Patreon supporters, and if you're not, please, we welcome you. You can check that out at patreon.com/disunplug. But we are going to be doing a watch-along party like we did for Hocus Pocus Before Halloween. We're going to do Nightmare Before Christmas tomorrow night. That's a Wednesday, the 25th. We're doing that at 8 p.m. I tried to do it a little later so some of the West Coast people could maybe join us. And it's not a long movie either. So I know if you've got stuff to do on Wednesday night, because Thursday's Thanksgiving, it's only like, I think, 70 minutes maybe. I'll start the stream somewhere a little before 8 and we can chat. And then I'll leave the chat open for the movie. And then at the end, we'll come back and chat about it. But it was fun last time, so I look forward to chatting with everyone tomorrow night.
Oh, maybe I will... Maybe I'll join you for that.
Yeah, it's fun.
If I can. I am. I'm very busy. I'm very busy answering the door so the caterers can hand me my Thanksgiving dinner on Wednesday. Yeah. So, all right. Anything else that I forgot, Fiasco? Do you have something?
No. Just I was going to mention, you know, what we mentioned at the beginning, all the new channels, but we're already there, so. That's it.
All right. Craig, do you have anything?
No, I think my slate is good.
Your slate is good. Yeah. Is that code for something? Or
I did no, just classic Craig, not okay. Using the right words.
I understand. All right. So let's talk about the fact that a small move toward normalcy was announced recently, that a version of park hopping is returning to Walt Disney World starting January 1st. And basically the way this is going to work is that you will go ahead and make your park pass reservation the way you do now. You will go to that park on your assigned day until 2 p.m., at which point you can leave, and correct me, Denny, if I'm getting this wrong, you can leave and go to whichever park
yes.
you'd like.
Yes, you're correct. You do not need to have Abby's, a... You okay, Abby's Pete?
Abby's having a dream. I thought I was hearing voices, and I realized, like, Abby's dreaming, and she's making her weird Abby noises.
Bless her heart. Yeah, you do not need a park pass for that second park. So you do have to make a park pass. You need to use your ticket media to go into that park. And then, yeah, once 2 o'clock hits, you can go wherever you would like to go.
And this is just more more proof, I think, for me. They're not hitting capacity. They're not hitting capacity at any of these parks. right? Anybody?
I mean, I feel like I was thinking about this a little bit, and I was like, oh, well, what about Hollywood Studios? That place is pretty popping. But I think it's because of, you know, Galaxy's Edge. It's because of Rise of Resistance. So, I mean, as long as they have the capacity in place for what park you're going to in the morning and trying to get on those rides as soon as possible, later in the day, I'm assuming they feel like should be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the morning time is really the most important with studios.
I was going to say it's, I mean, I'm excited for this because I do feel like it's one of those things where you want, sometimes you are like, oh, I went to this park. Maybe it's like too busy, you know, because it'll be close to that capacity. And you're like, oh, I should have gone to this other park today or something, you know. And so it does bring back that where you're not like, well, I just wasted kind of my day or something, you know, or maybe the attraction you were there for is not running correctly or something. I don't know. It just it opens up that freedom. And I think having it like wait till 2 is a nice way to do it. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, so am I. I think it'll be fantastic once it starts. But like I said, it just as soon as I saw the story, I'm like, yeah, they're not hitting capacity yet. Right. And I've said this on a few things, and I'm just going to repeat myself again because it blows my mind. You can't please. There are some people that you're just never going to please, right? What have we heard for years and years and years? Crowded, crowded, crowded. Oh my God, it's so crowded. It's so crowded. You can't do anything. You can't get on anything. It's so crowded. They are literally at 35% capacity. And what are people bitching about? Oh, it's so crowded. It's so crowded. Oh my God. Oh my God. Now look, will a certain area sometimes be congested? There's a difference between congestion and crowds. So will a certain area be congested? Maybe. I had that happen at the Magic Kingdom on a Friday night with too many people on Main Street. I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm just not going to go. I'm not going to stay. But if you get off Main Street, if you get off invariably, because there are 35% capacity now and they're not even hitting that. I really do believe people thought that they were going to come here and they would not see another living soul, that it would just be them in the Magic Kingdom or in the park. Yeah. And that the sight of another person, there's a crowd. Oh, look, it's crowded. No, it's not. Get a grip. I realize we've all been locked in our homes for months. But, you know, you do something to get in touch with reality. It's not crowded. And if there's a 40-minute wait for something, it's because they got to put 6 feet between everybody.
Yeah.
And they got to clean stuff in between with some of the attractions. They got to sanitize in between cycles. That's why. It's not because there's a 40-minute wait of people, you know, bunched together sitting in a queue.
Yeah.
That just drives me crazy.
You're seeing a lot more people because I think a lot of those like shows and like things that eat up people. And like you said, Pete, like there aren't as many people inside waiting inside of the attraction. So the queue is actually outside. You're kind of seeing, you know, you're seeing what normally is inside that you wouldn't see otherwise. So I think that's a big part of it, too. I did want to mention, too, because we forgot to say it, but the park hopping, you can't get the Rise of the Resistance boarding group if you are park hopping into that park. You have to start in that park. You can't, like, come later and get it as of right now. But what's interesting, too, Hollywood Studios is full from now until, like, the middle of the first week of December, which I guess is next week, but... Right. Or is it the week after that? I was trying to make a reservation and I went day by day and I couldn't get one until like Wednesday, like 2 weeks from now or something. So that one's been pretty popular. But yeah, it's about like new crowd perspectives, like what you think is crowded versus like what actually is crowded. And I think you're right. A lot of that has to do with being like nobody wants to be near anybody anymore, which is fine by me because I don't want anyone near me anyways.
Yeah. You know, really. COVID was tailor-made for me. I have to stay home and not deal with people. That's like, it's New Jersey's dream.
I do hope with the return of park hopping, I hope that we're able to get the monorail to Epcot again. back online. That would be great. I know they're going to start doing park-to-park buses again and resort-to-resort buses, which that's great. But I would love to see the monorail traveling through Epcot again. It'd be a lot of fun.
Okay. All right. The other thing that happened this week that had us all, we really need to get lives because we all got very, very excited that the walkway between the Grand Floridian and the Magic Kingdom opened, right? And like, we were all like, oh my God, we have to get over there and get pictures and video. And two different people that worked for me full time got video of the walkway. Because this is what we've become, all of us. It's sad. It's really sad. But it is a big deal, especially for those staying at the Grand, that was always a thing for me, that you couldn't walk from the Grand to the Magic Kingdom. And it's, you know, with the exception of the Contemporary, it's the closest resort to the Magic Kingdom. So now technically, I guess you can walk from the Polynesian.
Exactly. So
to the Magic Kingdom.
That's the thing with me, is I really don't love taking the buses. Even if like my situation would, like taking the bus would be a faster situation, I like to always be moving. And that just makes me feel better. If I'm just standing and waiting for something, I don't like that as much. So even though it's about a 35 to 40 minute walk, depending on how fast you can walk all the way from the Magic Kingdom through the Grand Floridian walking path over to the Polynesian now. And that is huge. I love that.
Okay. Well, let's take bets right now. How long before the rickshaws show up? Okay. How long before Disney fans, much like myself, who are full figured at the moment, trying but not successfully right so far, are like, oh, it's so wonderful, we can walk from the Grand Floridian over to the Magic Kingdom. Someone get me a rickshaw. And you know they have it, you know, over at Universal, over at, you know, you've got them at Portofino Bay. There's a walkway. There'll be a lovely walk. A lovely walkway right to Universal Studios. And there are rickshaws. And that's the first thing I thought when it opened. How long? How long before there are rickshaws? Hey, you know what? If it gives somebody a job, I'm all for it. Mm-hmm. And if I can have the benefit of the path without actually having to exert any energy, I'm even more for that right now. So that's how I feel.
Another thing, I just really love walking in nice areas. I was kind of bummed out when they closed the walking path from Disney Springs to Saratoga to just guests. I mean, it makes sense. But that was one of the spots I like to go. I like to just go to Disney Springs, do whatever I'm doing at Disney Springs, and then to get my walk in. I always love to get my walks in. Saratoga Springs is an awesome place to just walk because it's so sprawling and you can just move around, enjoy the sights. Now we have this too.
You got to love the stuff that these skinny bitches say.
I love to walk.
It is a very beautiful path. I think that it is one of the greatest things to happen at Walt Disney World in 2020. And I know that sounds like crazy that there's ever a time where we could say a walking path is the best thing to happen.
Again, we really have to reevaluate our lives.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm right there with you. I was very excited about it too, but I'm saying we just have to reevaluate our lives.
It's the way that it just is. It's such a relaxing walk. Again, we've said how long it basically takes, like from the TTC, if you walk at a good pace, you're right in 30 to 40 minutes from TTC to actual Magic Kingdom security checkpoint. It's 0.7 miles from the Grand Floridian lobby to actually the security checkpoint again. So not that far if you think about it in terms of right from that middle of Grand Floridian type area. But the thing I love most about it is I am that person who after a long day at the Magic Kingdom will come out and see the ferry boat line extending back to extending all the way back to like where the buses are, which I doesn't seem like that far, but it just seems like you're not going to get on it forever. The monorail is looping back and forth 19 times. The resort monorail is completely flooded with people, and you haven't seen a resort monorail in 28 years. And don't believe that it's actually going to come around. And you look at all those and you basically have to say, what poison am I going to choose here? And now for me, I will be able to take all of that stress and anger that I'm feeling, and I'll just be able to have a nice walk back to my car and hopefully, throw rocks and pout about no great options being available, but at least I'll be a little bit healthier because of it.
Yeah, like a question I have for all of you, because I've done it a lot of times, like probably a silly amount of times. Parking at the TTC, how many of you have walked out of the Magic Kingdom at the end of the night, saw that the crowds were just a lot and you didn't want to wait for any of the transportations, and literally just walked to Bay Lake Tower and got an Uber back to the TTC?
I've done many, many times.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a long walk, but now you can just, walk back.
Well, and it's more options, while the monorail station at the Poly is down during construction, it's just, again, it's another set of options for everyone. So, yeah, it's great.
All right. Before we wrap up, I want to just give a little plug for Disboards.com. In particular, there is a very, very long running thread on the boards called Here Now, Just Back, Walt Disney World Reopening Experiences. Obviously, this was started in July when the parks first reopened and people were coming and sharing their experiences. And it's just continued. A lot of really great information, a lot of entertaining information in there as well. It's a huge thread. I'm going to put a link in the show notes right below this once the show's over. So if you're wondering what the experience is like, and you don't believe Denny because she lies. She lies. She's
terrible. Through my teeth.
Through her teeth. You can go listen to the folks on the boards and check out what they have to say. It's a really fun thread. I spent a good hour and a half the other day reading through a lot of the posts, and it was wonderful. But also, the guys, whenever we're in the parks, we're live streaming. Like I mentioned, we're doing that on the Diz channel, the Diz YouTube channel now. While I'm thinking of it, Friday, Denny, Craig, Fiasco, and I are all going to be in Epcot for the start of the Festival of the Holidays, which is going to be a very scaled back version of what we're used to, but we're going to be there for it. And we're going to be live streaming, doing some vlogs, some dining reviews, all that good stuff. So be sure to check that out Friday over on the Diz channel. Not sure what time yet. It depends on when I get there, because the party doesn't start till I get there. I'm kidding.
But if you hit the bell,
these guys hit a park and they go, right? They just go. So doesn't matter when I get there. But what were you saying, Denny?
But yeah, if you subscribe to the channel and you hit that bell, whenever we do go live, you're going to know about it, because you're going to get a little notification and you're going to be able to watch. But yeah, we all have a mission for Friday. Hit the ground running.
Yes, everybody's been assigned something. So, all right, folks, that's going to do it for our show for this week. Hope you enjoyed watching it as much as we enjoyed bringing it to you. And we'll be back with you again next Tuesday with another edition of the Diz Unplugged. Have a great week, folks. And remember, stay out of the damn lakes.